Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 551. On the podcast today, I have CEO of Audio Boom, ticker Boom. Rob Proctor talks about the company's interim results, strategic update, and their 2.5 million fundraise. Also on the podcast, Nicola Duke, lady with the technicals, Duchess of the chart. She'll be looking at the following stocks. That's Ferrum Crescent, that's FCR, Glenwick, GWIK, Canadian Overseas Petroleum. Nice surprise in those yesterday. I hold those, and I didn't check my stock, my portfolio, until late in the evening. Up by 17% yesterday. Nice surprise. EasyJet and Keffi Minerals. Plus, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. It's a strong mark of sentiment. And, of course, today's One For Your Watch List is suggested by Stephen, and it is Mkango Resources, MKA. I'll read out the reasons for those in a few minutes.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of Audio Boom, ticker Boom. It's Rob Proctor. You're right, Rob.
Good morning, Justin. How are you going?
Good. Nice to have you back on. Now, you've had three announcements out today. You've had, interim results, strategic update, and also a placing. So we're going to cover those. But yep. For people who don't know, I mean, I use Audio Boom every day. It's a very user-friendly application there. I really like it. But for people who don't know about Audio Boom, Rob, can you give us a minute summary as to what you're all about, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're essentially a software service platform that allows, broadcasters, podcasters, and actually publishers now wanting to get into digital audio to be able to create, upload, store, and then distribute that audio content onto any digital platform that they want through our embed players, our social media cards, RSS pulls and pushes. So it's an end-to-end service for anybody that wants to get into digital audio or podcasting, whatever you want to call it right there. And then we monetize through the mid-roll and post-roll advertising, and then we also do in-red advertising, which is our the fastest growing part of our business right now.
Okay, cool. Okay, so we've got some questions here from investors or, I don't know, people. I put a link out on Twitter. And so we'll go through this. So the first one is, it says, your turnover for the 6 months was 329,000. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm just going off the question here, Rob.
So, no worries.
And it says you're burning on average around 425 a month. So you earned your revenue was 329, and you're burning 425 per month. You just raised 2.55 million, which is what you lost in 6 months, and you're going to dilute via a Chinese fund. We need to see serious revenue growth. When is it happening?
Okay, let me just go back over a few of the facts in there. Our burn is actually 265 a month now, so I'm not quite sure where that. Your particular listener got that number for, but we're down to 265. We've reduced cash burn by 28% across the board. And we're kind of moving headcount out of London and into New York and India, where our strongest revenue growth is. So the cash burn figure, not quite right. We'll hopefully reduce that probably by about another 10%, or certainly our underlying cost by another 10% over the next quarter as well, with more changes that we're making here in the UK. So in terms of revenue, our H1 number was pretty much double our whole of 2015 number. Our booked revenue, so that's guaranteed booked revenue for H2, is double what our H1 number was. So we doubled and doubled again over the course of those whole year and then two halves. And that booked revenue number, you know, nearly £650,000, is booked and guaranteed now. Our year ends not till the end of November. So when we look at Liberum's number of 1.1 revenue for our full year, end of November, that's in the market. You know, you put what we did in H1 and what we've got booked for H2, but the momentum we have. So, you know, we're super excited. We're going to blow past the 1.1 as we go through the rest of the year. So, you know, we've always been told since we joined Dave we needed to prove revenues. I think we're absolutely proving revenues at this point, but importantly, controlling costs to go with it.
Yeah, okay. So essentially, you're saying you're going to increase revenue and bring costs down. So when did you bring the cost down? Because I think what you're doing here is dividing the loss by 6 months and they're getting an average, you know, burn of 45, basically.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think when we did our AGM, which a lot of shareholders came to, we laid out a plan in front of all the shareholders there that over the next quarter, we would reduce headcount in the UK. That's obviously the hardest place for us to commercialize because of the BBC and what have you, and concentrate all of our efforts into the US and into India and the Far East, you know, with Malaysia, and we're doing really well in Australia as well. And that's exactly what we've done. So we've taken our headcount down in the UK by 35%. We're probably down another 10% on that from the end of this month. And like I say, we're focusing our efforts into areas where we know we commercialize. And actually, in the last 6 weeks, we signed just about $500,000 worth of advertising revenue just in the US. So we know it's a strategy that's working. And now with the fundraise that we've done, that's just going to allow us to accelerate both that process, but also our ad sales in India and into the USA. So that momentum absolutely is going to be underscored and it's going to be carried forward.
Okay, next question is, why is Q2 revenue below Q1 and what will boost it for H2? You sort of covered what will boost it, but why is is Q2 revenue lower than Q1?
It was lower than Q1. The actual reason for that, and you know, bad workmen and tools and all of that, so I'll put my hands up, but we use a platform called Wide Orbit as our ad serving provider, effectively. You know, over a 17-day period, the end of June, beginning of July, that service was up and down. We think it cost us somewhere in the region of £85,000 worth of delivered ad campaigns. Now, we are seeking recourse with our provider on that. So, you know, but we couldn't get recourse in time to come back into those numbers. But when we look at the campaigns that we had that we could deliver, then, you know, we have parity with where we were in Q1 to Q2. That said, obviously, we have to deliver more and more advertising all the time. You know, we're expected to be delivering somewhere like 200 million ad impressions by September on our current run rate. So clearly the reliability around the ad serving platform, scalability and overall cost is important. So I think in the announcements you saw our plan on developing and building our own ad servers. Not only will that reduce our costs massively from using a third party, but we'll also put, if you like, the fate and the IP in our own hands. So we will have scalability, we will have reliability. And I think, as mentioned in some of the releases, you know, we're working closely with two of the world's biggest media companies in developing that product. So I'm confident it will have profound effects both on the top and the bottom line of the company.
Okay, cool. Next question. The $8 million investment by a Chinese fund, what acceleration does Rob see this will give the company and how does it benefit existing shareholders?
Yeah, so you know, if that investment moves forward and it happens, and again, you know, I've not worked with investment out of China before, and there are hurdles to overcome, like, you know, getting MOFCOM approval and SAFE approval from the Chinese authorities. But the will of the people in China is to do this. You know, they've already put a deposit in the bank, and so all good stuff. So all the signs are right. So if we assume that's going to move forward, then all of that $8 million investment is going to go to growth capital. So basically, it's going to allow us to acquire more of the world's top podcasts that come with an audience already. So that's built in through subscription to the RSS feeds on, you know, iTunes and Google Play and things like that. So at that point, yes, we platform it, we distribute it, hopefully we grow listens even more from what they've already got. But it has a built-in audience that our guys in the US and India, and actually in the UK, where we're going to acquire content as well, we literally can just go and sell the inventory that's already on those platforms. So the Chinese investment will go squarely into doing that. So, you know, it will have an effect on our 17 numbers without any doubt. I think where it will have the big effect actually in terms of overall growth and the quantum will be through our 18 numbers. So this investment really is to make sure we, you know, we put a stamp down and go, you know what, we are the biggest company in the world doing this. We have the revenues to match that. We're controlling our costs. And hopefully that's for the benefit of all shareholders, of, you know, of which I'm obviously one of the leading ones.
Yeah, well, talking about that, next question is significant or relevant to that. It says, Rob always said he would not dilute the stock or sell the stock at less than 12 and a half pence. Why has this changed?
No, absolutely. You know, and that would have always been my intention. Like, goodness, who wants their share price to go down? The one thing I have learnt, being on the markets, you know, we've only been there 2 years and it's the first time I've been there, is there is very little you can do to change the market other than go out and run good business. I think we've done that. We've set all the foundations. Like, say, we're controlling costs. We're doubling half on half our revenues. I would expect us probably to triple in this half from where we were in Q1, H1 rather. But in order to do that, we needed growth capital in the business. You know, we see other companies in the US, literally just startups, raising between $5 and $10 million of $40 and $50 million valuations, and they don't even have a product yet. So when we step into the market to acquire content and podcasts and what have you, that's the market we're competing in. We can bring those podcasters so much more because of our distribution and our platform. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to compete financially as well. This investment allows us to do that. Would I have rather done it at 12 and a half P? Yes, of course I would. Unfortunately, that wasn't to be the case.
Yeah, cool. Okay, when is the Eros integration due to be completed? Will this be revenue generating immediately?
Yeah, so it's actually ongoing. So if you go to the online versions of the Eros Now product, you'll see some of our content in there already. The ad server integration is happening. We're building more software on top of the Wide Orbit platform in order to give us a little more scalability and reliability while we're building out our own ad serving platform. But we'll see that roll out very quickly. Also, we've literally just signed a deal with Savan, who are all are kind of India's version of Spotify, you know, with tens of millions of users. Our content, I think, starting next week, you'll see our content going into that platform. And again, with the pre and the post-roll advertising, you'll see the monetization coming through there very quickly indeed.
Yeah, okay. Next question is, you've been quiet on the Cumulus deal. What's happening there?
No, Cumulus is good. Is it as good as we'd like it to be? You know, it never is. So, you know, we're currently getting, you know, around about, you know, a third to 40% of our inventory has advertising and fill on for there. You know, the guys at Cumulus are doing a great job in the marketplace of selling it. We would obviously like to see that fill rate up to, you know, 65 and 70%. So we're working very, very closely with them on how we can make that happen. You know, we are across other inventory in the US and in Europe. You know, we are working very closely with companies like Target Spot and a couple of other big US radio groups and digital radio groups in order to bring in more media, more ad campaigns, so we can move that fill rate up to 60-70%. But, you know, the relationship with Westwood is very important, and we're working hard to drive that forward.
Okay, and last one, Rob. Will profits made from the sale of Sonar to Audioboom be used to buy further Audioboom shares? In fact, can you explain Sonar, please, as well?
So Sonar is a platform that has what's called firehose access, which is 100% unlimited access to social media channels like, you know, Twitter and Reddit and Instagram or whatnot. What it does with that access, it then has created a whole raft of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and artificial intelligence algorithms that looks at the sentiment and the context of what those posts are in order to identify things. Now, that could be what might be a breaking news story, or it could be what somebody's saying around a brand or what have you. So the idea of the NLP and the AI and why it's attractive for Audioboom is we can use those same algorithms on the ad server that we're building to be able to deliver truly targeted advertising to a user based on what they're actually reading or listening to at that moment. So not historic data around, you know, where they did surf and what they might have bought a month ago based on cookies. It's in real time what you're listening to or reading. Here's an advert that relates to that content. So that's why the NLP and the AI is so important to us moving forward, but also to our media partners moving forward as well. Ultimately, we're all in the same boat. We all want to sell more advertising, and we want it, you know, better target, because then you can charge more for it. So that's what Sonar does. You know, the original idea for Sonar was mine several years ago. That was set to flight on its own through a different management team, different set of funders, and all of that kind of stuff. So at this moment in time, I have no financial interest in Sonar whatsoever. I don't own any stock in Sonar. And the due diligence process around Sonar is being run by Malcolm Wall, our chairman, and David McDonough, our financial director. So I'm totally excused from those conversations in terms of the validity of the acquisition, other than on the technical side, which is obviously where I can bring my skills to bear.
Okay, cool. Well, that's it, Rob. So listen, you know, if there's any other reason or any other points you'd like to make to convince people to put Audioboom on the Vox Markets watch list, can you boil them down into 3 bullet points, please, Rob?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're looking for a company that has, you know, a low share price right now, and therefore could potentially have the upside in it. I think we would definitely fall into that category. If you're looking for a company that has growing revenues, like say doubling half on half, potentially quarter on quarter moving forward, as we increase those the ad inventory, then we definitely fulfill that criteria. And if you're looking for, you know, a small cap company based in the UK that actually earns its revenues primarily in dollars around the rest of the world and can benefit from exchange rates and Brexit and that good stuff, then we absolutely tick that box. So, you know, I think we should be ticking all the boxes right now if you're an investor, that's for sure.
Rob, thanks very much for speaking to us, and speak again soon.
All right, brilliant. Thank you, Justin. Good talking to you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast on this wonderful Friday morn, it's the lady of the chart, the Duchess of the Technicals. It's Nicola Duke. You're right, Nicola.
Hello. Yeah, sorry to laugh over you.
No, I like that. It encourages me to go on. So, first and foremost, is it nice weather where you are? It's nice where I am.
Yeah, it's pretty windy. It's not terribly hot. It's not quite as good as being on a beach somewhere, is it? But it's not
bad. Exactly. All right. So, what are your thoughts first and foremost? A quick take on what happened with Mark Carney, the governor, yesterday. What was your thoughts there, Nick?
Yeah, I was very disappointed. I thought it was a bit unnecessary, and you know, I'm a bit worried when the ECB went negative rates and Japan did it, you know, and that they threw in that last round of easing. The market said, you've lost control, and it went completely the other way. And I'm really kind of concerned that the market will think the same about the Bank of England. I didn't think it was necessary. Yeah. And
is he scared?
And
you know,
we should have seen, like, on you know, that much quantitative easing, we should have seen the FTSE at new highs, and we didn't. That's a bit scary too.
Yeah. Is he sort of scared that what will happen is we may touch recession and then people will turn back and say, you didn't do anything. You could have done it. You had the opportunity there after Brexit. You didn't do anything. Is he scared of the backlash maybe of what may happen?
And I think he really was a Remainer, and he really did think that really bad things would happen if we left. And yeah. I think he still maybe does. Mm-hmm. And you know, yeah, sorry. I think that, you know, they're reacting to problems that aren't happening, and that's not good, really.
That's it, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of sentiments, a lot of survey. There's no real, what I've been hearing, there's no real hard data to prove our economy is going into contraction yet. And it's almost like saying, stand fast. You know, if you're a man of substance, just stand fast, you know.
The things that QE did for us before, maybe they did save the economy from economic collapse, but they created an awful lot of inequality, especially in house prices. Everything they've done, more funding for lending, more QE, all that's going to do is juice house prices, and we don't need it. Like, you know, we don't need higher prices. We need more houses. Really, we don't need any monetary you know, we don't need monetary policy. We need the government, the new government, to, you know, borrow money, which is as cheap as it could ever be, and build houses and do some infrastructure stuff. Not, we don't need to be leaving it all to the Bank of England, I don't think. But, you know, that's politics, and I'm going over the line there, so I'll stick to my charts, I think.
Yes, that's the politics. So we had some requests today, and I'm just looking at the order they're sent in. So we have, in order, Ferrum Crescent, FCR. What do you say on the chart, Nick?
Ferrum Crescent, I quite like Ferrum Crescent. I've got my wrong chart up because I'm out of order.
Oh, sorry.
No, quite
right. Well, you take the lead. You lead me around the dance floor, Nick. I don't mind. If you want to go in your order, I don't mind.
No, so Ferrum Crescent, here we are, is making a really nice wedge pattern. So from, if you take that, the big bounce on the 11th of May, since then we've made a really nice wedge pattern. We're just kind of, we pushed the highs and sold off yesterday, but we are back above the 200-day moving average and pretty solidly above it really now since the beginning of July. So I like this one. So draw a line from the 12th of May high, connect it through the 5th of July high. When we break to the upside of that wedge, which would be about 0.280, I think we're on our way.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's Ferrum Crescent. Next one, Glenwick, which is GWIK. It's what's happening here?
These charts are very confusing. So we're just going to look at what happened since. We're just going to look at the price action and what Glenwick's done since December.
So yeah, it changed name just before then. I think we looked that up, and Treveria was called, but it's Glenwick, so it's changed. Yeah, so it's only relevant from the start of the year. And I know you like to go back further sometimes.
So I see lower time frame signs of hope, you know, on an hourly and a four-hourly chart, that we are beginning to roll things up and, you know, start to trend higher. But on a daily time frame, there's no sign of it yet. We're still held below the 200-day moving average, which, whichever way you look at it, is, you know, around 0.9. And the daily moving averages are still the wrong way round. So I think it's trying to bottom. There's a kind of a funky good support. It's built good support at 0.5. I think it's trying to, but it's not quite there yet. So I would say with this one, the next dip, watch for it to hold and not make a new low. And if it does, take it. And if we get back above 0.9, I think, you see, there's that wall. It's got a wall of trouble at 0.11. All those previous lows, you know, from, that's when it opened on the 7th of December, that's going to be the problem with this one. And then that was the low in February, the low in March, the low on the 24th of March, and then, you know, 5-6 days in May, 0.11 is going to be, like, there's not much room to make profit if you buy it here at 0.11. I do think it's going to fail the first time it hits it, and quite nastily. So a bit of patience on this one. I don't like it. If we close above 0.11, pile in. Like, it looks good. But it's got a wall of trouble there at the moment.
Okay, next one. Canadian Overseas and Petroleum Limited. Copl, COPL. I do hold these. In fact, I just posted out a tweet last night. They are now my top five performing stocks in my portfolio. So I looked just last night. I wasn't looking. I looked at the portfolio last night just to see what was happening, and saw this at 17%. I thought, oh, that's a nice surprise. And they're up again today. So
We looked at this one a couple of months ago, and it had that really nice, and it had a possible bull flag, which it broke above. It found support exactly where we thought, around 3, 3.1. I really like this. It's got further to go. So it's got a bit of resistance at about 6.5, but that is not where it's going to go. And that's only because of those sort of previous highs in May 2015. The first target on this one should be 7.6.
Wow, all right, bring it on.
0.7, but I do think it'll continue higher eventually to 0.9. But it's got a bit of, yeah, so I like this one. Keep buying dips.
Okay, listen, I want to revisit EasyJet after last week, Alex. We bought one of our experiments.
I know, it looks horrid, doesn't it? And everybody's going panic, but it hasn't made a new low. You know, we've got our level. It's a bit concerning that I think oil is going to rally here. And I don't know how sensitive EasyJet is to a rally.
Well, they do hedge, so they've got hedge positions on the oil there. But you know, I was looking on a daily chart today, and I was thinking. I said to a friend of mine, the podcast with. So listen, there's 3-day resistance here at about 10.13. If it can sort of get above 10.12, 10.13, if it can get above that, then we're seeing, you know, and the RSI on a daily is slowly building.
Yeah, no, I
so
like it.
It needs to break through that sort of wedge, isn't that the channel resistance? I think it's about 10. I'm you, the technical analyst, but 10, 21, 20. If you can get above that and stay above it, I think it's quite nice, isn't it?
It is. I still like EasyJet. I like EasyJet a lot. I think we're on our way. You know, it's going to struggle again about a clear 10.13 buy. It's going to have a little problem around 10.66. But no, I think I see really good signs of bottoming here. I still really like it. It's a really good level to buy against. And, you know, unless we make a new low below last week's low or below that July low, which is at 9.75, I like this a lot.
Yeah, and I think as long as you still keep, like you say, keep making above that that bottom
yeah.
low, then, you know, it will, the longer it stays there for, the stronger the support will become, you know. And I think, because it's sold off by 60%, you know, in the last couple of months.
I mean, all the bad news is priced trade, in, you know? And people should, it's a counter trend, so people should, you know, measure their risk accordingly and not, you know, put everything on it. But I like it.
Okay, and last one is Kefi Minerals, KEFI. I do hold these as well, and look, doing quite nicely for me, and I bought them at 0.33. So they're up there, but they're having problems around this area. You know, they've been messing around with this area too long now, I think, and it's just getting my nerves a bit.
Yeah, so, again, another wedge made a lower high, but I think that this should continue higher. You know, when we tested at the end of July, when we tested the 200-day, we bounced off it really nicely. The moving averages are all the right way up. I think it's just consolidating. I don't see it back below 0.46. So I think it might just do a bit more consolidating, you know, and it might be, I think that we might see that in a lot of stocks in August, and then they'll get going again in September. And this is one of those that I look at that everything's set for it to go. It's just a timing thing. And so I think this will be all right. And it does, of course, depend where you bought it. But yeah.
Marvellous.
Above 0.6, and it's on its way up again, and it'll break out. So,
like I said, you know, the most encouraging thing here is, like you said, it hasn't gone below in a market or finished below 0.5 for a while. And like the moving average, especially the 200 day now, is starting to curve up, which is quite nice.
Yeah, it all looks good, but it might, you know, might take a week or two. So, that's all.
I can wait a week or two, no problem at all. Nick, in fact, do you know what? Sometimes I can't wait a week until I speak to you next. I'm looking forward to the day. But Nick, thanks for chatting. Have a nice weekend. Speak next week. And you send me the charts. Put them on the website. Yeah, and people can look at the charts and listen to the podcast. Thank you very much, Nick. Speak soon.
Bye.
Okay, time for the top 5 most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. Why is this important? Because people are following these companies. Why are they following? That's exactly why you have to find out. But generally, a rise in sentiment on AIM stocks is very good, because a lot of AIM stocks at the moment don't have, you know, income or revenue. So when there's good news, that's what drives them. And, of course, people follow that good news. All right, so here we go. At 5, it's Newins, CloudTag, very popular stock, CTAG, 5th most followed stock. At 4, brand new, never been in the top 5 before, Zomano, that's ZMNO. I think Smudge Dan mentioned those a couple of times when he's come on before. At 3, from nowhere, Ascent Resources, AST. At 2, not surprised, it's
comes straight in at number two. It's Canadian Overseas Petroleum, COPL. A big rise yesterday. And a new number one is phenomenal performing stock. This is what I'm saying. These top two stocks here performing well, and they're being followed. It's very important, this. Sound Energy, S-O-U. You know, I wouldn't go as far to say follow up top five, but it's worth following, you know, top couple to see what they're about, because there's got to be something about them. You know, people are following them. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Right, and one of your watchlists today is suggested by Stephen. And Stephen has gone with Macango Resources, MKA. What does the company do? Rare earths and uranium. How many shares does the company have in issue? 71 million. What's the current price and market cap? Share price, 3.87 pence. Market cap, 2.75 million. No revenue at the moment. How much cash or debt does the company have? 1 million in cash, no debt. In brackets, they raised 1 million gross when they listed on AIM on the 15th of June at 3.3. So they got, so that's gross. They probably got you know, 5% less than that. And of course, since it's not a lot. So I don't know. Do your own research on this. So they haven't been a lot, I assume. But check it out. You know, any company that's mentioned on this podcast, please do your own research. This is all it's about. It's investment ideas. All right. So and some ideas are good, some ideas are bad. You know. So list three reasons why you think this company has potential. The net present value of $350 million just on rare earths, in brackets, advanced project. Two, uranium JV imminent, as well as further RE upgrades, resource upgrades. And three, funded for 15 months. Board of directors take no salary for the first year, which suggests low cash burn. Malawi government looking to fast track. So check that out. Macango Resources, MKA. Please do your own research. Thank you very much for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.